Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Ooh, buddy. Washington now three and five, and based on the Athletics playoff simulator, Commanders have an 8% chance to make the playoffs.
But there's a chance.
There's a chance.
That's the way I think about it.
Helping us break everything down from last night, another guy who was in Kansas City, Logan Paulson, joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. LP, are you back? How was your travel, sir?
I'm back, man. I'm back. A little sleepy, but we're back.
Oh, you probably got to come home last
night. He's back last night, you know. Yeah,
that's living life.
Living life.
So, dude, I saw you briefly in the tunnel last night after the loss, and I think you made an important point. You kind of looked at me and said, you know, Kansas City is really good. Like, how much of this was KC just being a dynasty? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think it's a good question. I think it's a great point. Like, I think, you know, obviously, like, they came out in the first half and you saw, like, the Commanders gave Kansas City everything they can handle. But the thing that separates Kansas City from other teams is they've won hundreds of games in hundreds of different ways, right? So, like, they can throw picks, they can be down, they can be tied, they can be in an emotional game in the first half, and they're just going to keep chopping wood in a way that you can only cultivate that skill set through winning a ton of football games and playing together forever. Like, watching Patrick Mahomes back there was never a moment of panic or doubt from anyone on that sideline for them. And so I think when you're playing a team like that, when you're playing maybe the best team in football at the moment, like, playing one of the best teams in the last decade of the NFL, they're not going to give you one. And so you got to play good, clean football throughout. And obviously, as you get into the second half there, you see an increase in the penalties. You see an increase in Kansas City's third down conversion percentage. You see a decrease in Washington's ability to convert on third down. And you see some mistakes on special teams. When you're playing a team of that caliber, you just can't do that stuff. And again, like, it's a testament to Kansas City. It's a testament to their resilience. And, again, hats off to them. Good football team offensively and defensively, quite frankly.
When you saw the lost opportunities early in that game, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to be a little bit, you know what I mean? Because in those moments, like, you've been a part of teams like that where you know you're kind of punching above your weight class a little bit. And, like, so, for example, you get that interception. Great job by Marshawn Lattimore. You go down, drive the length of the field, and you turn over on downs, right? Or the interception to Debo Samuel in the low red zone or the high red zone there on the 18-yard line. Like, those are missed opportunities for points. And let's say you come out of that sequence and it's 14-0. All of a sudden, I don't care how resilient Kansas City is, they're going to feel some type of way about that game flow and about that score. Mm-hmm. So I just think, again, missed opportunities is a great way to characterize it, because against good football teams, you have to, must, essential to capitalize on those moments. So the fact that they didn't, I think, was frustrating and obviously disappointing. I'm a fan of this team. I want them to win that football game. And the way that they have to win it is by maximizing those opportunities, which unfortunately they weren't able to do.
Look, you know, you go into games and like you see people for years, they have backups that are going into games. And as much as we say all these guys are professional athletes, you lose a lot when you lose your starters. And this team hasn't had their full gamut of players one game. How much of that is the reason for the problems they're dealing with now?
I mean, I think it's, you know, not to make excuses, but it's a huge reason, right? Like, I think I just read the statistic that the Commanders have the most starters on IR up to this point in the season of any team in the NFL. And so as much as you want to say it doesn't matter, next man up, which is a good mindset. Like, I'll give you a good example. Like, when Jordan Reed got hurt, when I was playing for the Washington Commanders, I'll tell you, you weren't getting the same offensive production from old Logan Paulson out there with his neck roll and his big face mask. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's a different skill set. It's a different skill set. You get different people out there. And you had roles. You had roles and ideas and visions for how the team was going to be laid out. Like, I think about a sneaky one, like Dietrich Wise, Doran Strumstrong, not having those guys. Like, think about the impact that's had on Joe Wood Jr. and this defense. Like, it's again, it's not an excuse. You got to build the roster. You got to be able to overcome that stuff. But it's hard to overcome. And there's a reason that teams with good injury luck win the Super Bowl every year. Like, last year, Philadelphia was, like, the least injured team in the NFL. Like, yeah. There's a reason that stuff is important. It's because your best players are healthy. You get them for a larger majority of the games. And think about it. Even though we have the most starters out, like, Jaden Daniels has missed 3 games. Terry's missed 4 games. Debo's missed 2 games. Like, huge features of this team. Laremy Tunsil misses a big bunch of the game last night. Like, huge features of this team aren't there. And I don't care how good of a coach you are, how well thought the roster is. Like, you can't get 2 Laremy Tunsils on a roster. You can't get 2 Terry McLaurins on a roster. And you feel the impact of those injuries in games like last night.
You know, I've said it to you many times, Jay. I said, if a team doesn't have a lot of injuries one year, bet your ass is coming the next. And I did not expect it to happen with this team. And I said it last year. There were teams that were not getting injured. And then the next year, it comes, because all that thing does is goes in waves. If you're in the NFL, your team will deal with it at one point or another.
I mean, it's a great point. And I think the other thing, too, I'd just point out is, like, so at the beginning of the season, when we're talking about projections for the roster or for the season in terms of win-losses, mm-hmm. like, they have a tougher strength of schedule. We knew it was going to be challenging. But you're kind of operating under the assumption that the team is going to be healthy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the team is not healthy. They've been bit by a pretty significant injury bug. And it's just not the same team that we were projecting, you know, this offseason. So I think that's another thing that makes it really hard, because you're also dealing with expectations. Like, expectations were set that this was going to be a 10-win football team. And when you're banged up like this, it makes it so much harder to achieve those goals like this season.
Logan, for me, it's like I think fans are misguided to be really upset about last night in what is an incredibly difficult environment to win against a fantastic, you know, powerhouse team, like the best team of this era, right? The problem is losing to the Bears and the Cowboys. Like, if Jaden just holds on to that ball, like, if there's no fumble in the fourth quarter against the Bears, you wonder if it's all very, very different right now. And I think that's the bigger issue, is it's one thing to go to KC and lose a tough game, but like to lose to teams that you like to think you are better than, that last year you were better than, that are other NFC teams, that's the issue.
I think that's a great point. You know, like, again, like the Bears one is so easy to talk about because it's so close to being a victory. You know, in a primetime moment, you just like make a mistake. And I actually thought the team played on the whole relatively well in that game, but it didn't feel right because you lost the football game, right? Obviously, the Cowboys came in, were a little outclassed. The injury bug was a huge factor in that game in terms of the wide receivers. Yeah. They were able to play a form of defense that they weren't able to. But to your point, like, It's the Kansas City ones, the Kansas City teams, like the class of the NFL. might be out of the reach, you know, when you're playing the statistical probabilities. Obviously, like B said, there's always a chance you can beat anybody any weekend. But, like, you know, there's a reason that Vegas is good at their job, right? They set betting lines. They set things up that way. And I looked at it and I said, like, the ones you shouldn't beat are the ones that are close, the ones that you feel like give you the opportunity. So, yeah, I definitely feel that analysis, and I think that's a great point.
Yeah, I think the Dallas game, it's a rivalry, but just got our ass kicked in that game.
Yeah.
That one you got to just let go. That's just one that you
– it was right off as this.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Bears game, I think that is one you can really look at. And you think at that point, this team's sitting at 4-4 with 9 left. And you get healthy at that point, some amazing things can happen. So, you know.
It's – yeah, that's a difficult one.
Yeah.
Look, for you, man, knowing it's Seattle and then Detroit and then this trip to Madrid – 3-5, first time ever in the DQ era. They're under 500, two games under 500, rather. You know, what is the message to this team, especially Tunsil injury, Kinlaw injury, Terry injury? Seems like there's more injuries from last night that are at least unknown. Not saying that there's somebody's out or any of that, but like more guys got banged up last night. We know that much.
Yeah, and I think obviously, like, DQ is excellent at his job in terms of motivating guys and finding things to make sure that they stay on task and stay focused. But to me, after I watched the film this morning, I think the thing that jumps out to me is, like, man, like, we, the Commanders, if they just do what they're supposed to do, like, just play man coverage, get to the zone spots they're supposed to get to, rush with good integrity on defense, have the pass protection pickups on offense, you know, get the run targeted correctly. Like, it's a much closer game than it is on paper. And I think if you can find that level of consistency, you know, like, it's just going to be helpful. And you can win games. You can win tight games. And I think that's the thing, is they showed you in the first half what this team can be when they're executing at a high level. Like, we just talked about the regression from the first half to the second half. Like, when we're converting third downs, the offense looks good. When we're getting the ball out defensively, like, we look good defensively. And then when we're playing penalty-free football, that's the other one that sticks out to me. And then obviously in the second half, it's kind of the total reverse of that. It was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so if I'm Dan, I think there's a lot of reasons, and I'm not just saying this because I'm an optimistic person. I think there are legitimate reasons when you get the film on to be optimistic. It's just like saying, can we as a group, without these guys that we were counting on in big roles, can we as a group of kind of like the remaining staff figure out how to get this more consistently?
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the best teams, when you look at Kansas City, their defense is incredibly consistent. Their offense is incredibly consistent, and that's what makes them a good football team. So can we find that level of consistency through our own ranks? And if we can, I think we got a real shot here to be the team that we thought we could be at the beginning of the year.
I think when you look at it, Lo, just in that first half, you watch guys running man-to-man, and they stay with their man. In the second half, they run man-to-man, and somebody crossed their face. They let their man run, and they started looking at the other guy and following him. It's like you're driving down the street, and you know you got to go to a Walmart, but you can't go past Jollibee because you see Jollibee over there. You stop it there. And, you know, you're on a time crunch. Wife told you, go to Walmart, come back, because y'all got to go somewhere. You over at Jollibee getting the spicy chicken, and you get back late.
That sounds like a very specific situation. A very specific hypothetical.
You get distracted sometimes. I'm just saying, you know, Jollibee is in between Walmart and the house, and then they add 25 minutes to the ride. So, but it's just like that. I'm watching guys are trailing their guy, and another guy cross, and they just hesitate, and that's all it takes.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because that's something that came out a little bit, you know, on the Travis Kelce explosive and the check down there in man coverage. There's bad eyes. There's a couple plays in the red zone. But also, like, to be fair to the coverage structure, like, Patrick Mahomes is extending the play in the pocket or out of the pocket. And so what does that tell me? Either we got to be more consistent with our rush, so like our rush lanes, our rush integrity, and keep them in the pocket. You know, and I think, again, like, it all comes down to details. Like, we're stressing the back end because he's running around for 4 seconds. Like, it's
sometimes
a team game
more
for
than
a reason.
That.
We got to be accountable up front.
Sometimes so, 8-9 seconds. He's a damn magician, man.
He's a special football player.
You look at him, you don't see athleticism, but that dude can do some things that even athletic quarterbacks don't do. He keeps the ball, he keeps the play going longer and longer, and then he'll throw a pass where he's looking down the right sideline, and he completes the pass way on the left side, crossed over the middle. Special dude, bro. Yeah,
special football player, man. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why, I mean, what's the most important thing for building a winning culture? It's, you know, it's coach, GM, but it's also the quarterback. And they have a great one there who elevates that roster tremendously.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Rashee Rice? That dude's game is interesting. I mean, he's in a lot of ways like a younger, maybe faster Debo. Like when Debo was breaking through with the Niners and he was this super tough physical wideout, like Rice has a lot of those similar characteristics.
Crazy, too.
Definitely crazy.
I think that's 100% right. Like, one of the things about him that's really interesting is, like, that offense is going to sound insane, but it's actually, like, they don't have a lot of really detailed route runners. They got a lot of fast guys, but not a lot of guys that scare you in terms of winning in one-on-one situations. The second you bring him back into that offense, it becomes really, really dangerous because now you got a guy who can run the football, he can win from the backfield, he can win from the perimeter, he can win from the slot. In those man-to-man situations, and it's such a nice chess piece, especially for an offensive mind like Andy Reid, who does such a great job maximizing players' abilities and talents. So they're a different team when he's in the lineup. They're a different offense when he's in the lineup. He just gives them a different pitch, and they become that much harder to strike out.
It's something both of you guys had to deal with. Terry, when he's working his way back from this injury, and he allowed that it. On some level last night, maybe he just landed hard on the injured leg and it just hurt, or maybe there's something more there. We don't know. We won't speculate, right? But now you've got Terry trying to fight his way back on a short week. What, if any, impact does that make for McLaurin?
I think for Terry, you saw how frustrated he was when he got back. He talked to you all the other day. That game last night, he didn't want anything to come out of the game like with something happening. But I think, like you said, I think it's more of the fear. Guy just landed on it, and it scared him. I watched him jog off the field, and I believe that it was worse earlier. It's not worse now. You get what I'm saying? I think it's at a point now where it's more of the, I was so frustrated. He heard all of the noise. And he doesn't want to have to go through that stuff again.
Yeah.
Because the dude wants to be out there. And you see what he can do when he's out there.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with B. I think the other thing, too, is, like, psychologically, it's tough being injured. Like, when you have an injury and it keeps getting re-aggravated, there's this psychological inhibition that kind of keeps popping up. It's like, well, I can't. Am I healthy? Is this it? And so I'm sure there's a lot of question, a lot of doubt in his mind. And hopefully he's fine and hopefully he's ready to go this week. But if he's not, again, it comes back to, like, can we find some playmakers on the perimeter, guys that can kind of hurt teams the way Terry can? And the answer is probably no, because it's hard to find those guys in the regular season. But how do we elevate the guys that we do have if he doesn't play?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Logan, I wanted to ask you this. We're talking with our friend Logan Paulson. You can hear him on the Take Command podcast, Odyssey product with Grant Paulson. Check out all his work he does for the Commanders. You can give him a follow at Logan
Paulson. His twin brother.
Logan Paulson. Yeah. I'm not going to reference the 80s movie. At Logan Paulson NFL. Dude, with the fourth, specific for me, you got fourth and one at the 28. I understand the decision to go for it. I like the decision to go for it. Is there a part of you that was a big physical tight end that wants to see Mariota under center and just sneak it? Mariota's 6'4", 225.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is part of me that wants to see him run. I also know that, and B can attest to that, like everyone thinks, oh, you know, run the football. But in a road environment, running the football is the advantages for the defense usually. Because, like, I, as a tight end, like on the perimeter, I can't hear the cadence. And so sometimes even the guards can't hear the cadence. And Kansas City gets pretty bumping, gets really noisy. And I remember in short yardage situations, coaches talking about, hey, like, traditionally we'd want to run the football here. But because of the environment, because of the noise, we prefer these other plays, you know, whether it's a roll pass or a screen or whatever it looked like in that moment. And I think that's something that it's a good reminder for people watching at home. It's just like the environment there dictates play call also. And I'm not saying that's what happened there, but I know for me, blocking short yardage goal line situations on the road was an absolute nightmare. And it really plays to the defense's favor.
That is a very good point, because if they line up at Jumbo and Mariota gets under center, that place just goes ballistic, mm-hmm. and everything is that yeah. much more condensed. That's it.
I tell you what I would always do like that in those plays. Hard. Boom. Snap. Quick snap.
Just go quick.
And set. I'm gone. Because if you allow the defense to get set and get the crowd going, you can have some problems with it. But if you got to catch them when they still trying to get settled.
I did. Yeah,
and to B's point, I think yeah. they did a good job of that. You know, like with the quick hurry up kind of throughout the first half there, it really didn't let the fans get into it. I thought it was a really good plan. But again, in that moment, like, you know, can you get the right play call in? Can you do it in your no huddles verbiage? It's an interesting thought for sure.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Logan, because I thought he had a really good game and kind of in the aftermath of the loss, I wanted to make sure I mentioned it. I remember when they signed Jacob Martin, B sat and watched some of the, I think you were just watching highlights.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. B's like, I like this dude. He gets off the line quick. And I thought Martin had a really good game last night in a game where they're desperate for somebody for edge pressure. What did you see from Jacob Martin, and what have you seen all year, Logan?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a guy that, you know, I played with him in Houston for a year, and he's just a guy that loves pass rushes and is detail-oriented with his pass rush and has the athletic background to be able to do some of the stuff that some of the high-level guys do. Like, I'm not saying he is a high-level guy, but he's got a really nice rhythm on his cross chop. He understands when to throw the power move, and he's got a nice low center of gravity and a nice strong lower half. We can actualize that power. So I do think, like, he's got a lot going for him. And, you know, a little bit of it's, like, disappointing because it's like, man, we're seeing all the stuff that he can do after Dorns is out. And could you imagine if both those guys were working together
yeah.
in some kind of tandem with Von Miller? Like, it kind of paints a different picture in terms of how effective this pass rush could be. But I'm really happy for Jacob Martin. I mean, he's rushing well. He's a good football player. It's nice that he's getting this opportunity. And hopefully he can keep building off these opportunities and keep being productive.
Logan, we appreciate your time, man. Appreciate I know you, you're brother. Busy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, man.
That's Logan Paulson. Give him a follow at Logan Paulson NFL. Finally on Twitter. Also, really good film stuff on Instagram. Back to the phones. Jeff, press the button. 800-636-1067. To the folks that stayed on hold, I'm looking at you. Mark, Brandon, Harry, and Keith, we're coming right to you when we return. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, the starting tailback for your Washington Commanders rookie running back, Ja'Cory Crosskey Merritt. Bill, it is good to have you back on the show. How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well. Sure you're tired. I know you got back very, very late. You're getting through this Tuesday after a tough loss. How is the kind of the psyche and the morale with the team after a third straight setback and a tough one last night on the road?
It's definitely rough, but like during times like this, you just gotta grind it out and know that we still got nine more games left. So I mean, it's too late to look back now. I mean, we just got to take advantage of every opportunity we get.
Can you go into that a little bit? Because I think that's a really good point. As fans, we look at the next game and we go, oh, well, this could happen, and then their record will be this. For you guys, I know you go one game at a time, but you really do view this as nine left, and you probably think, hey, we could win any one of these, and then we're 12-5 at the end of this thing. Like, what is the mindset for you guys on that?
That's definitely the mindset. I don't think nobody's going to lay down, and well, I know no one's going to lay down, and so we got nine more games, like I said, and that's the mindset. Like, we just can't, like, let advantages slip away from us, so we just got to capitalize on the games that we have left.
Speaking of mindset, I wonder this. During a game, like Javon Kinlaw desperately trying to make a play on Patrick Mahomes, dives, ends up hurting his shoulder. Laremy Tunsil is desperate to try to get back on the field. His hamstrings obviously wouldn't let him do that. What's it like watching teammates fight so hard to try to play and then, not have him able to play? Just sort of just walk me through your mindset and emotions while your teammates are trying to give everything they have just to get back on the field.
I mean, I feel like that's what we do. We're competitors, and I mean, we around each other 24/7 throughout the week. So I mean, we never want to let each other down, and like that's our job, and that's something like everyone takes serious, and we'll never lay down or want to be out because something's bothering us and our body's not allowing us to go back. But it's like the mindset that those guys have that, man, I'm still gonna do this for my teammates.
Ja'Cory Crosskey Merritt on Grant and Danny, our weekly appointment at 5 p.m. with Bill here on The Fan. The last few weeks, the run game numbers have fallen off a little bit. And from my eye, and you could tell me what you think, but it's just not as much room for you. It's not like you're missing things or you're not hitting things. There's just, you're getting hit at the line. You're getting hit in the backfield. What has changed? It seems like teams have really made an adjustment. You guys are still very high ranked as a rushing team. I think number four in the league, but you've been number one until a couple weeks ago. It looks like the well's dried up a little bit. So A, what's gone differently? And then B, how do you get it going again?
I feel like we just gotta go out there and play and do better at what we do. And I feel like that's the bottom line. We just gotta be better. I know me personally. I know I watched film and I was like, I could have did this. I mean, like I'm here for a reason, and everything is not going to be blocked up perfect. But like me, just like being a competitor, I feel like I just gotta make more plays and just dial in a little bit more like than I have already been. So
when you say that, like when you're watching the tape, Bill, are you saying like on a run you go, oh man, if I would have just made this cut or if I would have done this a little differently, is that how you're evaluating it when you're talking about your own performance?
Oh yeah, for sure. And yeah, that's basically it. Just I'm definitely very hard on myself when it comes to things like that. But it's definitely stuff that we just have to clean up in the run game for us to be successful. And I mean, that's something we're gonna work at.
Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara with us here on Grant and Danny. So we were at the game last night, had pretty good seats, and were able to kind of see a lot of the action and the way it was looking. It seemed to us, you know, as we're watching, to Grant's point, Kansas City was really like coming up to the line of scrimmage, a bunch of guys in the box against some of those run looks, and you know, you're sort of fighting for your life just to get a couple of yards here and there. Did it felt like, I don't want to say they had a good scouting report and they kind of knew what you guys were about a little bit, but did it feel like maybe you guys were a step behind, or did it feel like they had a good plan against you guys in terms of stopping the run?
Definitely want to give them credit. They came, had a lot of energy on defense, but we just got to execute. I feel like that's the bottom line. We got to execute and score more points for our defense and I feel like things will take care of itself.
Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Give us this insight, Bill, in the locker room at halftime, what that's like. You guys in the first half, it's 0-0 after a quarter, then it's 7-7 after the second quarter, and we're like, darn, okay, they're hanging with the Chiefs. Let's go. Second half was very different, but like, there's not a lot of time. I think it's something like you guys, by the time you get back to the locker room and come back out, it's like 9 minutes or something like that you guys are in there. How does that actually work? Do you guys break into position groups? Does the running backs coach talk to you, or is it the OC to the whole offense, or does Dan address the team? What is the halftime like itinerary?
We wasn't happy that it was. We know we can play with anybody. So like us being tied up 7-7, it really wasn't a surprise. I want to get that out there, but we just, just coming in, making adjustments. Knowing that it's, still treating it like it's 0-0 on the scoreboard, not too high, not too low, and it was. That's basically it. Just going in there and talking about what we see and saying it's 0-0 and we just gotta execute more. So that's kind of like what's going on.
Who are you in? Just a group of small groups of positions, or is it the whole team together? How does it work?
It's both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like you start, Dan addresses you. Or maybe vice versa. And then you get into a smaller group and like, here's what we're seeing. Here's how they're blitzing. Let's do this and pass pro or whatever. So it's like there's multiple sessions with different groups, it sounds like.
Correct. Yeah, just a typical halftime when teams go make adjustments.
Gotcha. Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara with us here on G&D. So early on, you guys were moving the football. That first drive, it was clinical. It was something beautiful to watch. You know, that loud environment. I want to ask you about that, too, in a minute. But what happens when one of your best players, like a playmaker, a guy that I would say, let's get the ball in this guy's hands every time, always in that same spot. Deebo Samuel has the mistake. It bounces off his hands. Interception kind of kills the drive. What's it like immediately after that there on the sideline, knowing that you guys were successful moving the football, but then kind of have that deflating moment? What's it like in the immediate aftermath there on the sideline?
So that's football. Right. Nobody mad. We know going into the game is going to be good and bad. So, nobody mad. We all know what he do. We all know what he brings to this offense. So, nobody looked at it. Nobody sideways, not one bit. Still early. And, like I said, it don't matter what happened. Like, we all got each other back at the end of the day. And that's basically it. It's football at the end of the day. So, we know it's a long game. Like, okay, that play behind us. Like, we still got four more quarters. Like, this is just the first quarter. And our defense ended up giving us the ball back. So, nobody really looked at that.
Bill, I know that you are a student of the game and the history of the game. We've talked to you about studying old running backs and different things. You've now been able to play Lambeau Field earlier this year and Arrowhead Stadium, the two most historical NFL venues that there are. Last night was my first time ever going to Arrowhead in 20-plus years covering the league, and it was awesome. I loved it. Just such a cool experience. What did you make of the stadium and the noise and the atmosphere, and did it live up to the hype for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a great stadium. Great football weather, felt good. The fans was loud. And, it was everything that you dream of, like when you was a child. So, I mean, it was definitely fun playing there, but it would have been great if we would have came out there and got the win. But that's why we got a whole bunch of more games left. That's just the first half of the season, and we just gotta flip the switch.
Do you like playing? Some of my favorite athletes of all time liked playing on the road. Like, my favorite athlete, one of my favorites was Chris Webber. I know, way before your time, but a basketball player who was awesome. Used to love to give the crowd the shh motion after a major play or a big shot, kind of in crunch time to shut them up. That was something that was always so cool to me as an athlete, to have that kind of confidence and ability to follow through. Is that something you thrive on, to kind of make the home crowd quiet when you guys are on the road?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I don't mind playing anywhere. Like, anytime we get a chance to play football, it's a blessing. So, it's definitely better when you can go in and have the crowd silent.
Bill, before we let you go, I got to ask, what'd Cousin think of the game last night?
Cousin wasn't too proud of me personally.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, don't say that. Cousin was mad at that 2.8 per carry. What would Cousin tell you, Bill?
Yeah, he was definitely mad at me. Then get the exciting jumps that I usually get. So, I just got to be in the loud more than I already am, so.
You tell Cousin to stick with you, all right? You tell Cousin there wasn't a lot of running space there for old Bill.
I'm not mad at Cousin. I accept it because I know I have to be better. So,
Cousin was side-eyeing him when he got in the door at midnight.
He just holding me accountable to what I'm supposed to be here to do. So I feel like that's all it is.
That's the pup, Cousin Krosky Merritt, who was waiting for Bill at the door when he got in late last night. All right, Bill, thank you, buddy. It's great having you on as always, man. Keep your head up, and we're looking forward to another primetime tilt. Sunday Night Football against Seattle this coming week. That's a tough defense, tough assignment, so it'll be a big one. You guys need a win. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate you.
Talk soon, buddy.
There's Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt on Grant and Danny. That's hilarious.
Cousin was indifferent when he got home.
Cousin was not feeling Bill, apparently, when he was trying to give him a nice pet yesterday.
I mean, truthfully, I don't necessarily believe that, right, when he came home, and it's a great bit by Bill. But, like, can you imagine if Cousin, like, came to the door, sniffed him, and then kind of turned away and went back to his pad?
After the Chargers game, Cousin was jumping all over him, licking him on the face, you know, chasing him around the house. Last night, Cousin was nowhere to be found when Bill got to the crib. That's tough. But, you know, look, he wears this, and he's such a good sport and comes on with us and talks shop. But he really, you could tell, like, he gets in the lab, as he calls it. He watches the tape. He really thinks in his mind, like, oh, man, last night I let the guys down. That's the sense I get. When the fact is, we all watch the game. Now, I'm sure I could go back on the All-22 and find a run or two where maybe if you do this, but that was not a Bill problem.
Like, I don't think so.
Chris Rodriguez ran the ball.
And good for him, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Rodriguez and Jeremy McNichols ran the ball as well. They averaged the exact same thing combined as Bill did, right?
This, to me, is a Kansas City thing more than it is a Washington thing. And granted, the last few opponents have done that.
I was going to say, this is 2.5 games where they haven't been able to run the ball.
But I will say, this was the first time with some competent receivers, some pros that have some deposits in the bank, and Kansas City still mauled them in the run game.
Yeah, I thought it was not a great matchup, and I tip my cap to Logan Paulson on Take Command. We do the pod before and after every game, looking ahead, looking back. And he basically said he thought Kansas City would kind of shove it on them on the interior in the run game a little bit, or be able to hold up pretty well in that regard. And he broke down why last week in our preview pod. So yeah, I didn't think they'd be able to come out and just run all over them, but I thought they'd be ahead of the sticks pretty frequently. The first drive is what I thought it would look like. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to do that all night. But if you have 4 or 5 of those drives and they don't end, you know, in a interception, but rather in, let's say, 3 field goals and 2 touchdowns, well, I just got you to 23 points. You know, it's hard to do it, but out of 8 or 9 drives, if you do that 5 times, that's where you get to 23, and it's a close game, and you're right there, but they couldn't do it.
And listen, Logan's forgotten more this morning than I'll know my entire life, but just watching from the great seats that we had, again, thanks to Kondori and Morad for that, it looked like it's just this no-nonsense, no-freelancing, run-fit, everybody do your job, like New England Patriots-style defense that Spagnuolo and company have. I mean, their linebackers can run a little bit. That Chenal guy flies around. just up front, they're holding the point of attack. There's always someone kind of filling a lane. There's just nowhere to go, it feels like. And your only chance is to have some sort of remarkable, remember in the McNichols run or Brian Robinson last year when he went into the pile and then came out the other side? McNichols earlier this year, everyone stopped because they thought the play was over. That's your chance to break a big run, is somebody does something remarkable. And if Bill's standard is, I didn't do anything remarkable last night,
yeah,
okay, I guess, fine, you can blame yourself. But to me, there was nowhere to go.
Welcome back. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in DMVs, Von Miller, Commander's pass rusher. Hey, Von.
Howdy, guys. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
So, Von, right, I was just on ProFootballTalk.com, and I was telling the boys a couple things that it said about you, and Jason's like, why don't we ask him? Might be interesting.
Yeah. I want to get your reaction.
So just throw this out there. You have 4 sacks. First, let me start with the compliment. Your per-snap sack rate is higher than Micah Parsons. Do you feel good about your season so far? You're at 2.06%. I don't know if you've ever kept track of that, but that is your per-snap sack rate.
I mean, they got a staff for everything, no? But
yeah, they do.
I mean, I think the most important stat for me is winning games, and you know, the next most important stat is getting sacks. And you know, I got 4 through, what is it, 8 games.
Yeah.
You know, I had the opportunity for a little bit more. I don't think I've ever had as many half sacks this season as I've had in my career, but that's just what it is, especially when you got other great pass rushers around. I mean, 4 sacks is good. I'm two away from what I had last year, and it's good. I'm just trying to, you know, we gotta get some wins going.
And you're also 3 away, are you aware, from $500,000?
Let's go.
There's a golf clap for
you
there, buddy.
Get in your pockets, baby.
Yep, he knows.
That's all good too. I think I'm four away from the top 10, and I think I'm 6 away from the top 6
all time.
So, yeah,
that's awesome.
What's the most sacks you ever had in a game? Myles Garrett just had a 5 sack game. What's the most you had in a game?
3.5. 5 sacks. 5 sacks is crazy.
I know, that's crazy.
Right? You would think they would start chipping or get a bootleg the opposite way or something. But yeah, Myles Garrett is incredible.
Well, they didn't need to change anything because they were still beating them up and just smashing the Cleveland Browns as Drake May was dealing.
Yeah.
I don't want to I'm not asking you to trash like PFF, right? We use PFF. I like it. But I'm watching that game, and Jacob Martin had 2 sacks. And I think he's like all over the field. I think he's having a big impact. And then I go in the grades. He was the lowest rated defensive player last week. I think if I'm remembering that correctly, when I looked at the list yesterday, like, do you look at those numbers? Does that make any sense to you? Like, I'm not asking you to trash PFF, but,
or you can if you want. It doesn't matter.
I'm not asking him to. That's not what I'm asking. But it just like it seems like
on the surface, it seemed like
he had a great game.
Since he had 2 sacks, his grade would be higher.
Yeah.
So PFF is a tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool that they use to, you know, grade guys on the field, and I think it's a great tool. They they watch each and every player, the whole game, each and every play. So it's just a tool, though. It's not the end all be all. It's just a tool. You know, NFL teams use it, fans use it. It's just a tool to see how, you know, individual players play.
It's just one metric. Just don't put that much stock into it.
Yeah, it's just one metric. It's not the end all be all. It's just a tool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, Von, we we've been kind of talking about how the season's been going, and
I'm down.
Obviously, you weren't here last year, but as you know, everything just kind of went right. They didn't have the serious injuries, certainly the number of serious injuries. Things went well, Hail Marys.
At key spots.
Yeah. And then, of course, they get to the NFC Championship. This year has been a complete opposite. I mean, everyone's getting hurt. You guys don't have the luck you had last year. I mean, Jaden fumbles the ball in the Bear game, completely different than what happened last year. You guys are 3-5, and some fans are getting, and I'm sitting across the table from one. Fans are starting to think, okay, it's kind of a lost season because you got to get to 10 wins probably to make the playoffs.
It just seems like we're doomed.
And there's so many injuries. How are you feeling about the way the season has progressed or digressed?
The reality of it is we're 3-5. Another side of the reality is, we still got a lot of football left. As football players, you live life, on the edge. There's 9 games left, and, I'll never count that out. I've played a lot of football, a lot of years. 2015, we won 9 games within 3 points or less. So, close, really, really close calls, and we were able to win the Super Bowl that year. So, it's we're in a tough situation. That's just the reality of it, but, another part of the reality of it, we still got a lot of football left. Still got a lot of teams to play. And we just got to take it, one win at a time. All it takes is just one win to get going.
Right. Have you noticed a difference? Like, it seemed to me from afar, Coach really wanted you guys to be quicker, faster the ball. He said he was going to pare things down. He said he didn't like to say, simplify it, but just pare things down a little bit. Take guys' minds out of things. Just play more instinctively. And I actually could feel it from my living room. I felt that intensity level pick up a notch. Did you feel that?
Man, I've been so impressed with this coaching staff and the leadership here. Defensive coordinator, Coach Weird and Cliff Kingsbury, and all the position coaches, they've done an incredible job getting us ready to play. We've been prepared for every single game. We've been rested for every single game. We know exactly what the other team is going to do. Coach DQ has done a good job of getting everybody going and enthusiasm and the morale. He's done a great job with all of those things. Definitely not on the coaching staff. They've done an incredible job getting us ready to go each and every week.
And Vaughn, do you feel encouraged with getting some takeaways in this past game? Lattimore had a pick, Bobby Wagner had a pick, and then you see some of the other performances across the defense. We talked about Jacob Martin. Johnny Newton actually had a good game, had a sack, 2 quarterback hits. So there are some encouraging signs there.
That was part of our goals is to have 2 takeaways, and we got them early. Coach, like I said, man, Coach DQ and, the guys, they've done an incredible job getting us ready to go and getting us motivated, having the morale high, and, just having everybody ready to go. They've done an incredible job with that.
It's incredibly difficult. We talked about it leading up to the game, but playing Patrick Mahomes, it seemed like there were times where your scheme was solid, but he just made plays kind of off platform. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, that first half, we did an incredible job. And I think that carried over from the type of week that we had. We had a really good week last week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We practiced really, really well. Went into that game. First half, it was everything that we could have hoped it would be. Second half, they got the ball first. They were going to make some plays. They were able to make some plays, got them down to a 4th-and-2, on the goal line. That play was just a tough play. I was supposed to speed the power, and I ended up getting, rushing up the field, and Patrick Mahomes was able to step underneath and kind of roll out, and he was able to find Kareem Hunt. And, if I could just get a little bit we call it a cage rush. If I could just get a little bit of speed to power, maybe keep him in the pocket, who knows what that play would look like. But that was really the start of the storm. The very next play that we had was, the muff kickoff return that went off, that went out at the 2-yard line. And it just kind of snowball effect after that. So, you know, kind of beat myself up over that. You know, I've been in tight situations like that before, and I'm excited to respond. But that was the start of the snowball effect in the game.
How do you handle that when you're walking back to the sideline if you have a tough rep or a tough series? Because I can't see. Like, are you one of those guys that's slamming your helmet? Are you just quiet to yourself? Like, what's that vibe like for you?
No, I'm not slamming my helmet. That's not going to help none. It's tough, man. You know, you come to the sideline and nobody wants to look at you. Right? It's tough. Nobody wants to look you in the eyes. It's like, damn, like, you know, you know, this is on me. But, I've been playing football a long time. Like, this is my 15th year, and I've been that guy before. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's all about a response. It's all, you know, football is a great, you have the opportunity to respond. And I have the opportunity to respond this week, Wednesday. You know, we start today, and I'm just excited to get started on the Seahawks. And you just really, all you can do is really just take it out on the Seahawks.
Talking to Von Miller, he's got 4 sacks on the season as the Commanders get ready for the Seahawks game, though. Take me back to the last couple of days. So after a game on Sunday night, you guys get an off day. What does Von Miller do on his off day?
Hang out with kids.
Something with chicken. He does something with chicken.
Oh, so this Monday night after we played?
Yeah.
Man, I could not. It was late Monday night. I couldn't sleep. It was like that the last Monday night, too, when we flew back watching film. We landed around 4. I went home for a little bit, but then I came to the facility. So the facility probably 6 o'clock, and just got started in my routine, sauna, hot tub, cold tub, got to start lifting at 7. And I, you know, it's an off day, so I can really just take it slow and do all the things that I want to do, have some breakfast.
It's like me.
Started watching film on the Seattle Seahawks, watched a couple of games. Went in and got some treatment and, you know, came home about 1:45, had some lunch and just started watching Netflix after that and, you know, getting to bed around 7, 8 and
what are you watching?
Yeah, morning. What's your Netflix go to?
It's a movie called, that's a documentary called Mob Wars now, but you know, Netflix they do a great job. It's always something new on there every single day. So
I recommend Task on HBO Max.
It's very good. Hey, you're not doing the thing where you share your password for Netflix with people, do you? You don't like some of your teammates that aren't making as much cash as you're like, let me borrow your Netflix password, Vaughn. You gotta keep that to yourself.
You know, Netflix is like Apple TV, man. It's like everybody has a Netflix account. That's just part of the necessity. That, you know, it's not 2019 no more. Everybody has a Netflix account.
And I need to update my file, apparently.
So it's your friends are brokies, not his friends.
When you're home
he's running higher circles than
when,
I am.
When you get home at 1:45, your kids at school, because you mentioned before your kids, I don't know your house situation. Like, are you home solo? What's the deal?
My kids are in Dallas. Okay. So everybody lives in Dallas, and they come out for every home game, so they'll be here on Friday after school. Yeah, so they go to school. They go to school every day, and then every day they got an after school activity. My oldest, he just started like karate, so he has his little karate uniform on. Man, it's dope, man. I don't like to use the cute word, but he's cute, man.
Old is he? Your oldest?
He's 4.
Wow.
Oh, he'll be breaking boards before you know it, Vaughn. He'll be chopping him in half.
Man, he practiced all of those moves and stuff on his little brother and stuff. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, 100%. You did the right thing. See, I did. My kid was in Kung Fu, right? Is that what my kid did?
Taekwondo. I mean, there's a million.
I did Kung Fu. Whatever he did, it was
Jiu-Jitsu. I don't know.
But the problem is, I thought I wanted him to do the one where they kick asses.
Right.
I did the one where they just do. They just do things, but it's just like a dance almost.
Oh,
they
like
do
judo.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted him to do the one where he beats people up.
Right.
But he ended up doing the one where, like, twirling swords.
I'm going to guess that Von Miller's got his son in the one that beats people up.
Yeah, I did the wrong one.
No, I mean, what I really like about it is just the discipline. Like, it's, you know, for me, it's not necessarily about, like, the moves or, you know, him, like, the punches or kicks, it's just the discipline. Like, listen to the whole command, like, 100%, like, stand here and then step with your right foot and go down and kick with your left foot. And I just like the commands and the discipline that they teach. You got to be able to do that before you can play any sport.
Right. Yeah, a similar path.
What if he is?
Except he has way more sacks than you.
What if he's a linebacker? What if he's a linebacker and he wants to go to University of Texas and not A&M? You gonna let him?
Man, he can go. He can go wherever he wants to go. Like that's his career. I wouldn't want him to play linebacker. You know, I wouldn't want, if I could pick, you know, I wouldn't want one of my guys to play defensive tackle and the other one to play defensive end.
Okay.
And they kind of like run games together their whole entire life.
Hey,
that's what I want.
They're probably going to be big kids.
Vaughn, how good does it feel knowing your Aggies went into Death Valley and made LSU fire Brian Kelly after that performance?
Man, it is. I have been on the other side of all of these online memes and and videos after the games, and like, man, it's been, you know, I've always loved being an Aggie, but we've had some tough years. This year, to be an Aggie is amazing, man. We're number three in the country. We got the way they went up there and beat LSU. We look like the best team in the country, and it's just amazing to see the job that Coach Elko and all the guys are doing in College Station.
Oh, they're going to the playoffs.
Gig 'em, Aggies.
Because they're not losing two games. At the most, they'll lose one.
Did you give Jaden crap?
No, I didn't. We had so much more stuff to worry about.
That's true. But there was no bet or anything? Like, Jaden didn't have to wear a helmet or anything like that?
No, man. We, you know, that's all good. You know, college teams are good, but it's, you know, winning games on Sundays and Mondays is what we're about.
Big boys now.
Do you have a good vibe on Jaden playing this week? I just want your vibe.
I don't know. The crazy thing about Jaden, like, if he was seriously hurt, you wouldn't know about it. And if he's not hurt at all, you wouldn't know about it. He's so even keeled. Like,
you don't
know what's going on. When things are good, he's the same. When things are bad, he's the same. You know, and that's what's going on out of your quarterback.
So, and even though that game was kind of a nightmare at the end, but just it was, Jaden just has such a big smile. He just enjoys being. I know he wanted to play, but seeing him root on his guys,
he's right there, right next to him. Terry makes the diving catch.
He's in on it. He's into it. He's laughing. He's having fun. That guy just loves football. You can tell.
Yeah, he's that's our quarterback, man. That's our franchise guy, man. And whenever he's going, you gotta play it safe with him too. You know, he has such a bright future, man, and you know, things are bigger than just, you know, one game. You know, we want to get some wins going. We want to be undefeated this season. But you gotta think about what's best for everybody. And he'll be back, and we'll have an opportunity to play, you know, a lot of football with Jaden as our quarterback.
All right, so Seahawks, real quick, maybe you haven't watched that much film, but what do you see? They've got a really talented, fast young receiver. Sam Darnold had a really great year last year. He's kind of carried that over into Seattle. What do you see?
And they got a solid team, you know, all the way around. I think, you know, it starts with, you know, obviously the wide receiving core is great. But in my opinion, man, Kenneth Walker Jr. is just he's great, man. He's a great running back, and he's able to take, you know, those 5-yard rushes and make them 15, 20, 30. And you know, a running back is a quarterback's best friend. Offensive line plays solid. They got a really good left tackle in Cross, a really good right tackle in Lucas. Of course, you know, we talked about Jackson Smith and the Jigba out there, and Cooper Kupp. They have a great pairing. And then Sam Darnold, he's carrying over, you know, some of the success that he had last year over into this year. And the defense is solid as well. Defense might be the strong part of this team. He had a really good defensive line, really good linebacking core, two good corners. So there'll be it's a tough team to deal with, you know, just like we've had each and every week this this season.
Except the Raiders.
And the Giants. The Giants are kind of a laugher, let's be honest.
The Giants have some players. Well, they now have some they players.
That week, what was that, week two?
Yeah.
So, Vaughn, after I watch my favorite show, Mayor of Kingstown, today on Paramount, I'm going to watch Mob War on Netflix.
Yeah, it's Mob War. It's like a little documentary. And then House of Dynamite is really good too. I've been trying to watch. I don't know what's going on. It's been on for five or six times, and I just been falling asleep. It's really good. It is a really good movie, despite me falling asleep.
Well, I mean, you stay up all night, so right.
I don't know how you
makes
do that.
Sense. You got to sleep at some point. Fon, always great having you on. We'll talk to you next week. Best of luck against Seattle.
Let's get a win, bud.
I appreciate you guys. Let's do it.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Keep it here.
Yeah, the Seahawks are very good defensively. You know, I've mentioned this, but, you know, per DV.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
DOA, the number two team in the NFL right now is Seattle. The number three team is Detroit. And the number eight team is Denver. And then the defensive ranks per DVOA, Seattle is three, Denver is five, and Detroit is one. Detroit's one. So their next three of their next four opponents, and they've got to win three of the next four somehow, are against excellent teams and excellent defensive teams. We'll get to our NFL power rankings to finish up the show, but I did want to play some of the Steve Suter film breakdown from yesterday on my podcast. Really interesting stuff about why the run game didn't work. He goes over Mariota's performance. I'm going to start there with him just talking about the offense against the Chiefs on Monday night.
I had no issues really with scheme. I had no issues with play calling. I thought what they were trying to do against the Chiefs was working, and it was sprinkling run. I liked the called runs with Mariota. I thought they were timely, and they should have worked. However, it was a position or two that were letting down their blocking responsibilities, and those should have gone for 6 to 7 yards, and they ended up going for one or two. And that happened periodically throughout the game. I'll tell you one thing that was really glaring for me was the tight end position for Washington as a whole. And Ertz, Bates, and Sinnott. Is that right? Sinnott. So they struggled as a position blocking. And it was shocking because Bates has been really good for most of all the games that I've watched. He He had an offer against the Chiefs. A lot of the blocks that he was responsible for were maybe the most important block on the play. You're trying to run an off tackle, you're trying to run a sweep. He's the guy that's got to seal the edge, and he was just whiffing. So a lot of those runs that got blown up, and you're like, why can't we run the ball? The tight end position really let the offensive scheme down in the run game for sure. It was shocking how many bad grades I had to give them because it was it seemed uncharacteristic from the games I've watched. But offensively, no problem with the game plan. They just couldn't make the play when they needed to. I thought, and you would know better than me, you're on the fourth down to Ertz. I saw it in passing. It looked like a first down to me. I didn't watch all the replays. I'm sure you did.
I thought it was a bad spot, but I learned something this week, and that is that fourth down unsuccessful fourth downs are automatically booth reviewed, like turnovers and touchdowns. And so that was booth reviewed, and they didn't change the spot. It's not like Quinn had the option to challenge it. But yeah, in real time, and then on the replay, I thought it looked like he had, you know, gotten to the line. To the first down marker.
Right. Yeah, agreed. I was on the same page there. I thought that should have been a first down. So I liked the call going for it there. I liked the next call going for it on fourth down, too. That's one of Mariota's bad plays in my book where I dinged him on it. He made a mistake there. He should have saw that it was getting cover zero, and he got cover zero.
Yep.
And he's got Ertz running the slam right across the field. That to me, on a fourth and one, should have been your first look. And instead, he's not on the same page of what Terry's doing. Terry's running a little tight corner route, a little bench route to the sideline, and it certainly seemed like Mariota's not on the same page, and then he gets caught, and he just throws it away. So that was a flaw for Mariota that I marked down. You got to be more aware of that situation. Cover zero, you take Ertz right off the jump. I'm not saying you don't go aggressive, so I'm a fan of going for deep on fourth and one, but if you're going deep on fourth and one, then you better be on the same page as your receiver.
Right.
And so, for me, I think that's a Mariota mistake. Maybe Terry's running the wrong route there. I doubt it. I don't think he's going to run the wrong route there on a cover zero when he's running a corner. Maybe that's something they've talked on practice that I'm not on the same page. So that was a nick for Marcus there. But offensively, from the coordinator standpoint, I thought Kingsbury was calling a good game. He just didn't get the execution that he wanted sometimes on offense. I mean, I'll dive into Mariota. I thought Mariota was really good. He had another one of those solid starter games that you count from your backup. I have very few plays that he is negatively graded, and one of them is what we talked about, the fourth and one. I gave him a negative grade on that. He should have been more prepared on that fourth and one. I gave him a negative grade. He threw a really bad ball on third, to Debo, way over his head on an over route. Should have been at least given him an opportunity to make a play. Then he has a couple other ones. Let's see here. He misses a read to Debo late in the game for third quarter. He had a chance to get it to Debo on a corner route. He decided to check it down to McNichols. McNichols doesn't get any yards after the catch, but I can understand him going to McNichols there. But still, I thought he could fit it into Debo. And then two other negative plays. He's got to take, let's see, Murray gets, he thinks he's getting cover zero. This is in the fourth quarter. This is just a pre-snap. He gets tricked here. He thinks he's getting cover zero. He comes up to the line of scrimmage, and he makes his cover zero check, which is this wide receiver screen to McCaffrey, which could really gut a cover zero. But he gets tricked here. It's not cover zero. They drop back into two man. So this play is dead.
Nearly picked off.
This play is dead because now not only does this corner not care about McCaffrey going deep because he's got a cover two safety behind him, but he's in two man. So now he's pressed on him. This play has no chance of working.
Right.
And this is all – that's just a matter of a bad pre-snap read. But, I mean, credit the Chiefs, right? I mean, they look – if you go back to that pre-snap, they look like they're in cover zero for sure. No safety. Everybody's up on the line of scrimmage. And you probably – I can't see the play clock here, but once he makes the audible and he sends McCaffrey out here to run this wide receiver screen, probably doesn't have time to realize, like, I made the wrong call here. The safeties are deep. This ain't going to work. So that was another one of his negative plays.
What about the next play? I was going to ask you about the next play, which is the third and 11 sacks. Since you're right there – there was a bit of a debate. Is it Connerly or Cosme?
I actually think I know what the answer is, but I'm going to let an expert answer it. Yeah. So go ahead. Because that's not on Mariota, correct?
No, this is not on Mariota. And if you take your eye off the sack, right? Take your eye off this sack. Don't even pay attention to that. Because I know that's where you should go, and that's where I would go. And the play dies because you sack. But he's got nowhere to go with the football anyway. He's probably going to have to check this down to Debo.
Right.
And you're going to get 4 or 5 yards. But, yes, it's still a big play, and you have to. So I did watch this several times. Because without being in the huddle, it's very hard to determine where the pass protection should go. But my common sense says, and my years of experience say, this is on Cosme. Because you do not leave two down linemen unblocked. And he is leaving a three technique unblocked when there's also a five technique. Because you don't have Debo in to block. He chips him, but he's not responsible for part of the protection. So if Connerly goes left here and shifts left and they all slide left, who's going to block the DN? Nobody. So it's going to be a free run on Marcus, and he's going to get it blown up. Connerly has to be blocked in DN. And so the only person here who could be blocking that three technique is Cosme. So they must have called their protection to Biotic goes left in case they bring three from that side, and Cosme has to take that three technique.
Interesting. I saw four guys slide left and one slide right and assume that it was Connerly.
Yeah, but then that would mean you're leaving Debo to block this DN
right.
One-on-one, which you would never do. Or what you don't see is McNichols, the running back. Say you did that, and say you want to slide all five linemen left, then McNichols has to come across the formation.
That's right.
And pick up the DN.
Yeah, good point.
He doesn't do that either.
Yep.
So this one's definitely on Cosme.
By the way, on third and 11, they're probably going to take that check down just to get into fourth down and makeable. You know, they're probably thinking two downs there because they're down 21-7. They're probably not going to kick a field goal. They haven't kicked a field goal all night. They've got the backup, you know, the practice squad kicker. I don't even know if you knew that.
I did not.
Yeah, so interesting. Okay. Continue.
You are going to have to hit that check down, and that because they're running zone routes here. You got McCaffrey just running a little curl. You got Ertz just curling over the ball.
Yep.
But they're manned up, so none of them are open. But yes, you're going to take that dump, and you're going to go for a fourth down.
Right.
And it's a shame that Cosme blows the protection there.
Okay. What's next with Mariota?
Let's see. I mean, you could check. We could check out the Debo go to 243 in the third quarter.
Okay.
And I think he misses an opportunity here for a first down, 243.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a strong enough arm here. He can fit this in. It's cover two, and you're high-low in that corner over there. You got McNichols going out to the flats, and they're going to try to high-low.
It's Debo. He's got to throw to Debo, right?
He's got to hit Debo there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just grip and rip.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that corner is making him uncomfortable, which... That's open in the NFL for sure.
Oh yeah, that's more than.
So you got to take that. That's a first down, and you're moving the chain. So I took him down on that one, but that's it. Like he didn't do much wrong from a quarterback running the position. I thought his read options. He made all the right reads on his read options. He really only had one or two, in my opinion, true read options. Or RPOs. I think the others were called design quarterback runs, but the ones that were read, I thought he made the right call. You had some plays like let's go to the tight ends. Go to 436 in the second quarter.
Yep, I'm there.
436 second quarter. So look, you got two tight ends that are very critical here on this block.
Bates and Ertz.
And they don't touch anybody. So watch it from the end zone.
Oh yeah.
See, this is an example of this. This is a sweep they're trying to run. Bates and Urge have to set the edge. You're the most important block here. If you don't set the edge, then the pulling guard and the pulling tackle, you're pulling two guards. But if you don't set this edge, they can't get around.
Right.
Bates just falls on his face and whiffs.
Yeah.
And then Urge doesn't help him. He just Olays 56.
Well, he's not interested. Guys, we already decided that he's not interested. Yeah.
He's not interested in blocking the box. So they just that play's shot right there.
Yeah.
And technically that should be a double team, and they don't even get a They don't move him off the ball at all.
Right. Yeah, and
so that runs tough.
Yeah, and that's second quarter, and it's 7-0, yeah. And you're driving again. They end up scoring on this drive, but I get it.
He's a play. So go to 231. This is the same drive. You're gonna watch Bates whiff again. See Bates goes in motion.
Yep.
This is one of the called runs here. This is going to be a pretty decent play if he just can handle that corner. This is a corner.
Oh, God. Yeah. Come on, Bates.
You're going out on a corner, and you got action here. So, I like the called run. I like Zach Ertz bypassing the read option guy.
Yep.
He's going to pick up the linebacker, which he does a decent job of. But Bates just whiffs and on a corner.
Oh, and that if he clears that corner out, Mariota takes it right through, inside the block. Play. Yeah.
Yeah. Three out of five plays are Bates. He wasn't alone. Ben was missing blocks, too. Ertz was missing blocks. But that was my note, man. The tight end position for Washington in the run game really cost them.
Well, cost Mariota a lot of yards.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's just, it just makes it more difficult. Luckily, like you said, they went on to score that series. But Bates wants this tape erased. He doesn't want to watch this game. Those weren't the only three.
Yeah, because he's been such a good, blocker.
Yeah, he's been good, man. It's like an outlier. But he didn't have his best stuff.
We've gone through some of Mariota's negatives. What about his positives?
Positive, I just thought he made a lot of good decisions. Now, comparatively, the ones that he didn't make cost him on big plays, but he's just very consistent mentally. I thought he was poised in the pocket, and when protection broke down, he made plays, whether it was a 3-yard scramble or a 4-yard scramble. He ad-libbed, kind of like Daniels does. He's a similar type of quarterback, and he utilized that feature. I don't think he left the pocket early ever. When he should have, when he had a guy, we went over a couple where he maybe had options and didn't make the right read, but he wasn't predetermining and leaving the pocket when he shouldn't have. There's not many highlight plays other than the ball to Terry. That was cover zero when Terry made the crazy diving catch and got his knee in.
Right.
That's his only option. That's cover zero. It's his only option. He has no other route that's open, and he has to just make a prediction ball. I'm going to float this to Terry. And hopefully he gets on top, because when he throws that ball, he hasn't won yet. So this is just a route. You got to trust him. It's his only option, and he just throws a perfect pass.
Right.
So that's a big-time ball at a big-time situation. His first touchdown I thought was really good. I gave him credit for that. The ball there it's a really good ball.
What do you think about that ball? It brought rain. It was so high.
It's crazy, yeah. It had to have that touch because Terry's got two guys trailing him.
Yeah.
But he keeps the pocket alive. I don't have to go over, they replayed the play 30 times, but it's just staying poised in the pocket, sliding outside the pocket, and then you have to throw a perfect touch pass, and it's just a really good athletic play. A smaller play, I have smaller plays where I'm like, this is a good decision. You can go to 3:16 in the second quarter. This is just another example of being poised in the pocket.
Is this the little? Is this the little dump over the line of scrimmage to McNick? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he wants this front side. Obviously, McCaffrey gets jammed off the line of scrimmage, blows his whole play up. I don't even understand it. Ertz's route here is, I don't know what he's trying to do. He's trying to trick him. He's walking off the line of scrimmage. He's not running a route, and then he tries to show some type of burst, but it doesn't work.
No.
I think he's waiting. He's waiting for McCaffrey to get in front of him to use him as a pick. But McCaffrey is getting locked up. So this play's dead. They want Ertz to pick off of McCaffrey's butt. That's dead. Debo's running a little out. He's dead because he's not getting open against his coverage. And so all Mariota can do is buy time, and then his brain kicks in and says, oh, yeah, I got McNichols is going to come out here late on my check down after he helps on the line of scrimmage. So this is just a good poised play.
Yeah.
He doesn't panic because he had – look at him. When he slides left, he could run, but he doesn't. He says, oh, yeah, I got this check down. Let him go get it. So I like the veteran play there.
In watching this play, I'm going to just get to a question right now I have for you, because I watched a lot of these plays in this game. Man, there's just not a lot of separation with their receivers in this game.
No, and there hasn't been all year. I'm a broken record on saying I don't think your perimeter guys can beat man coverage. And the only guy that can get remotely close to it is, in my opinion, is Debo, but it has to be a gimmick. It has to be he came out of the backfield or he's in motion and he runs an angle or he does this or does that. But straight man coverage, he struggles too unless he's getting the benefit of running an over route where you don't really have to show some shake. You just got to get off the ball quick and start going across the field. You're going to struggle that all year. And Terry's included. I know my first game, I was really hard on him watching the Packer game, but he just consistently doesn't show me separation in man coverage. I don't think DBs fear him. And he makes plays because he can make a play contested, and credit for him for doing that. But it's not a guy where you line up over the ball and you're thinking, oh, no, is he going to run by me? Or, oh, no, is he going to cut me up on a post corner? Or, oh, no, is he just going to be able to beat me on a 10-yard comeback because I think he's going to outrun me? I don't think anybody respects their speed on the outside. So if I'm a DB, my heels are really firm in the ground around 10 yards. And I'm going to say, go ahead, see if you can beat me deep when I'm flat-footed, because I don't think you can. And I'm going to be able to break on all your intermediate routes because I'm already anticipating that. And I don't. And if I'm wrong, I think I have enough speed to catch up to you. And that's how I would approach playing the Commanders all season. I think that's what the DBs are doing. And it makes it even harder. If you're a receiver that can't threaten somebody deep, and you already struggle to get off press, or you already struggle to win man coverage, and now they're not scared of you doing anything behind them, it makes it even harder. So it just compounds the problem.
Steve Suter, doing a great job, film breakdown. He had a lot on the defense from my podcast yesterday. He liked the defense for the most part, loves Mahomes, and just said Mahomes made so many plays off schedule. But I thought it was really interesting. I don't know how much talk. I don't pay attention to a lot of the other talk around town. But just the idea that, you know, the run game was there to be had on Monday night, if the tight ends, including Bates, who's been one of the better blocking tight ends in the league, had played better. It was not a good night for Bates or any of the tight ends, and that killed them in the running game. They got to get that fixed because they've got to figure out a way to stay balanced, although it will be tough Sunday night. Seattle, the number one rush defense in the NFL. FYI. When we come back, we will do our weekly NFL power rankings to finish up the show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You miss any of our conversation with Neil Greenberg, get on the Odyssey app, hit rewind, go wherever you get your podcast, watch us on YouTube. My guess is my guy White Brian will have a Neil Greenberg clip available for your viewing pleasure up before too long. Instagram, YouTube Shorts. We out there, people.
Do it.
You want the content, get the content. It's out there. Joining us right now is our friend John Bates, Commanders tight end.
KB.
Making time for us. John, what's up, dude? How are you?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Doing good, man.
Look, man, that's a tough game Monday night. You go into Kansas City, that atmosphere is crazy. You guys are right there in the first half. Second half, it gets away from you. How do you handle kind of flushing a loss like that?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you just have to, you know, watch the film and learn and figure out what you did wrong, what could have done better, and move on fast. Obviously, it was kind of a tale of two half games where we came out and relatively started hot and was going into half at, you know, really 0-0. And then second half just didn't come out as strong and explosive and didn't move the ball as well. And so it's just one of those things that you got to live and learn fast and move on to the next one because there's no going back at this point, you know.
Yeah, that's true, man. What are some of the things that you noticed are more easily corrected that you saw the differences from the first half and the second half?
Yeah, you know, I think easily correctable things is, you know, just alignment assignment stuff. We had a few things that even in the first half, you know, whether it's maybe someone not, you know, executing or someone maybe, you know, not doing their assignment the right way or going to the right guy on a pointer, just the simple stuff like that, you know, stuff that is all controllable within, you know, our preparation and how we go about our week and going into the game. And so little things like that. And then I think, too, just being able to push the tempo like we did in the first half. Just got to be able to do that for an entire game. And so, like I said, we'll live and learn and move forward and try to make those corrections coming into this week.
John, it's different from one year to the next in a season and things of that nature. Things worked out perfectly for y'all last year. This year, it's not like it was last year. You're getting a lot of injuries and things like that. What's been the mindset of the team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that we're still a resilient team. Obviously, we've been a little bit banged up this year, and you know, things haven't gone quite our way, you know, in ways that we would hope. But I still think that we have a team full of guys who are resilient and still, you know, are a connected brotherhood. And you know, we're not going to flinch when we get into tough situations. We've done it before, and we know how to handle it. And that's just the way to go about it. And so, you know, we might be dug in a little deep right now, but you know, I think everyone still looks at this as a challenge ahead and something that we want to get fixed and turn around.
John, what, if anything, can you draw on a 3-game losing streak last year where you guys came out the other side and got red hot again?
Yeah, man. You know, I think just being able to understand that that's just kind of, you know, sometimes that's the ebb and the flow of a season. Sometimes you start off hot and then you get cold and then you get hot. And it's just one of those things where a little bit of a, you know, not a slump, but, you know, things just haven't gone our way and we haven't been able to execute to the best of our ability. And so now we have an opportunity going into November to start fresh and really go out there and, you know, play to the best of our ability and, you know, make the sacrifice to work harder, whether it be the weight room, you know, on the field, in the training room, in film session, whatever it is. And so we just got to be able to go into a fresh mindset into November and, you know, start stacking away some wins.
Talking with John Bates, Commanders tight end, here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow John at @JohnBates on Twitter and Instagram. I'm curious, man, because certainly fans and definitely one local radio host named Chris Russell make a really big deal about the difficulties that a short week presents. For you as a player, how big of a deal is a short week? Does it make a huge impact?
I mean, you know, it's, I think any player and coach would say it's not ideal because it's not the normal amount of preparation and, you know, time that you get in a normal week, but it's just kind of, it's the cards that were dealt and it is what it is. And there's, you know, nothing that you can do about it. And so, you know, as a player in a mindset, it's just how fast can I recover and turn my body around from the previous game and get it feeling good. And, you know, there's no time to look back or feel sorry for yourself because every single team in the NFL has the same issues. Everyone has short weeks. And so, we can't make any excuses on our front. It's just how fast can you turn around and get feeling better as quick as possible.
Yeah, that's the way I always looked at it. If the other team's got to do it, we got to do it. Doesn't make that big of a difference. But as you start looking towards the game this weekend, another night game, do you feel any differently if you're playing a night game, day game, or is it just it is what it is?
You know, honestly, like I've always loved night games. Obviously, high school, you play underneath the lights. College at Boise State, played a ton of night games there too. And so it's just one of those things I've always been kind of used to. And I think there's just something special about playing underneath the lights, especially in a prime time game. But, you know, Seattle's playing really good ball right now on both sides of the ball, offense, defense. And so we just got to come out there prepared and ready to go, you know, 4 or 5 rounds with these guys.
Talking with John Bates here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You're a Pacific Northwest guy. I know in baseball you told us you root for the Cardinals, I believe, the St. Louis Cardinals, because your pop was a Cardinals fan. Who did you grow up rooting for in football?
I didn't necessarily have like a dominant team growing up. I guess I was just kind of more into players. Broncos were always a big team where we were at. Obviously, the Seahawks were a big team. My brother was a big, like, LaDainian Tomlinson fan, so he liked the Chargers a lot growing up. So we were just more like players and stuff like that that we followed in our house.
Gotcha. And you mentioned Boise there. I'm curious, what was it like playing on that blue turf? It's become fairly iconic for Boise State.
Totally.
Like, what's even like a recruiting visit the first time you go see that, and it's just so distinct?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's like, it's super cool and unique atmosphere. Obviously, it's a little bit different than your green artificial turf, but it's one of those things that you get used to real fast. I mean, I think the one big thing that people don't realize is like being on watching it on TV is almost like blinding sometimes, because I don't know if it's the camera effect or what, but it makes it like really hard to watch sometimes on TV. But when you're in person and see it in you know, real time, it's not as brutal on the eyes as you think. But man, it's just a special place to play. Like, Boise State football is everything around that community and that place. And so, you know, strong crowds every single week and a very loyal fan base who loves their football team. So it's a fun place to play, man.
That's cool. Dude, one thing I did want to ask you about is the Commanders run game. You guys were running the hell out of the football, like the first, so you played eight. The first 4 weeks, you guys were really running the ball well. Over these last 4 weeks, that the numbers have gone down. Now, have there been other factors? Terry and Debo missed time. Jaden misses time. Like, there's been a lot of other factors. What do you guys do to get the run game back on track?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm watching the film the last couple of weeks. Teams, you know, recognize that we've been trying to run the ball, and it's been kind of what we've been leaning on the last month or so. And, you know, the last few games, you know, Dallas and Kansas City have had great defensive game plans and in place to, you know, try to stop the run and doing different things up front, whether it be movement, blitzing, different stuff like that, put eight in the box to try to slow us down. And so really at this point, we just got to be able to counter and adjust, you know, a game plan and account for that. And so that's really the biggest thing.
And then the only other thing that, like, I feel like you're not much of a social media guy. How much of fan feedback when things are running cold do you take in or allow yourself to even kind of be aware of?
Yeah, man, I don't pay attention to any of that, because, you know,
great move.
Obviously, you want your fan base to be as happy as possible, but really at the end of the day, their opinions and what they're saying, like, has absolutely nothing to do with, you know, our performance and what we're doing. And it's completely irrelevant, to be honest with you. Like, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is, like, what we do in the building and what we control. And at the end of the day, like, we know that the work that we put in throughout the week, and we go out there and obviously we're trying to do our best and win every single game. And sometimes things don't go our way, but that doesn't waver us from the way that we work and the way that we get down and how we go about our business. And so, you know, I don't pay attention to any of that. I think it's, it is what it is, and people are going to have their opinions and do whatever, but I know that whatever we do in this building is all that matters.
And I think what you're saying, man, and that's exactly how you have to think, because, and it's not a knock, it's not trying to dismiss, but can't be concerned about all that stuff. You know, you got to, the people in the building got to believe in each other. And if that happens, can't worry about what the other people say outside at all.
Exactly. It starts with yourself and having belief in yourself and the confidence in yourself. And starts there first and foremost, and then bleeds throughout the team, and that confidence and that energy. And that's all you can do. And that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Dude, so last thing for me. Last week we were all, or hell, 2 days ago, we were all in Kansas City, and Kansas City's so well known for its barbecue. I know I had barbecue.
I ate a lot.
2 days in a row. B did. A lot of people did. I know you guys probably got out there Sunday afternoon. You get some free time to go out to dinner, whatever you do Sunday night. Did you make a point to go find a KC barbecue spot?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, Cosme and I, we went to Jack Stack. We actually got it after the game too, but went down there, got a ton of food.
So who all went?
They did say that the barbecue people would normally feed the visiting team. Yeah.
So Sunday night, who was it? You and Sam? Like, who was the crew?
Yeah, it was just me and Cosme that went out. But we.
What do the two of you get? Like, what is that order like?
Man, it was insane. We were both starving. We got like two of like the three meat meals. So six meats right there. And then we got another two meat meal with on top of that. And then each one of those came with like two sides each. So we got like beans, coleslaw, bread, mac and cheese.
What were the eight meats?
Oh, shoot. We had about it all. Brisket, chicken, sausage.
Burnt ends.
Baby back ribs, beef ribs, burnt ends. I'm missing a couple, too. We had some shrimp, too.
Shrimp. Way to mix it up.
Yeah. And then we finished it with some, like, warm carrot cake. And Jack Stacks has the best carrot cake I've ever had in my entire life. I mean, amazing. Warmed up, fresh, like, hot frosting on, like, smothered on top. Oh, man. I was, like, full until, like, noon the next day.
How much food was left on the table between the two of you?
We honestly, the only thing that was really left was like a little bit of carrot cake just cause it was so sweet, but that was pretty much it. We killed the rest of it.
You are two big men. That's a lot of grub.
That's a lot of food.
Eight meats, probably whatever, eight sides and those are the big sides too. And the carrot cake. I'm proud of you, dude. That's strong work.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Still got a little bit of big food eating. Right there.
Helps to have the Monday nighter, so you get all day Monday to kind of let it work through.
For sure.
All right, John. We appreciate
you, John.
So a late practice today. What does that do to your schedule?
Yeah, no, it just pushes everything back a little bit. DQ's great because we got back at like 4 o'clock in the morning the other night. So just gives the guys another opportunity to sleep in a little bit another day and kind of get yourself prepped and ready this morning with – you know, a little flush lift, whatever, some recovery, and get the guys ready to go.
All right, man.
All right, Jay.
Appreciate your time. We'll see you this afternoon.
Appreciate you guys. See ya.
Cool, man.
All right. John Bates, Commanders tight end. He and Sam Cosmi ate what sounds like a whole damn cow on Sunday night in Kansas City.
I think I eat a lot of it just like them.
Plus a little carrot cake. I like carrot cake. You like carrot cake, B?
Yeah.
I don't always think to order it, but when it's around, I'm like, hell yeah, I'll eat carrot
cake. I'll definitely eat carrot cake.
Are there carrots involved in that cake at all?
Yeah.
There gotta be, right?
It's carrots and carrot cake.
I would hope so. Jory Epstein will join us, Yahoo Sports, at noon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.